Questions, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with host Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist, author, and international expert in the area of grief and loss. Tune in and hear bereaved parents and siblings share their stories of loss, hope, and renewal. You will learn what they have done to cope, how they have established a new normal in their lives, and how they have gone on to do fantastic things. Dr. Gloria dedicates this show to her deceased son, Scott, and to all the parents and other family members who have lost loved ones before their time. And now, with Healing the Grieving Heart, here's your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart. There are no simple or quick solutions to dealing with death. Each one of us is unique and special, as are our relationships and our responses to loss. We've all heard at the time of death, I don't know what to do. There's nothing to do, and in fact, most of us need to stop doing. The heart will heal. It's a matter of letting it happen. Healing the Grieving Heart is about nourishing the heart and removing the blocks that slow the miracle of renewal. I know you've hurt. I've been there. Have faith. The heart always heals. I know you must carry on with work and family, even though you might feel you're going crazy and will never be normal again. My guests and I have been there, and we are here to tell you that we have made it, and so can you. Please join us on the show by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-369-3742, with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. Remember that just going about your day-to-day business is an accomplishment, whether it is working in the home or in the office. Today, our topic is dealing with grief in the workplace. And I am pleased to introduce my special guest, Patrick Malone. In addition to being a business consultant, Patrick is the president of the Compassionate Friends and a bereaved parent to Scott, Aaron, and Lance. Pat, welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart.
Thank you, Dr. Gloria. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you on. I'd like to start the show, if I may, Patrick, by asking you to tell our listeners your story.
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you mentioned, Kathy and I, my wife and I, have lost three children. Scott died 16 hours after birth in 1971 from some complications in the birth process. In 1974, Kathy had a miscarriage, and that would have been our daughter, Erin. And then in 1995, my 25-year-old son, Lance, was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Wow. Yeah, it's tough having that happen. And were you a consultant at the time when it happened?
No, I was in different circumstances with Scott back in the 70s. I was with a Fortune 500 company, and same company with Aaron, and then I was with the business consultant operation with Lance. And each of those experiences in the workplace was significantly different for me.
Well, it's going to be interesting to hear the suggestions you have in handling that after being with a big corporation and then going with consulting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when I was getting ready for the show, I was looking at some written material on grief in the workplace. And while I found that it was very good, it tended to focus on how to make the workplace more humane. And I thought, you know, that's all well and good, but going to work one day as a parent and then a few days later as a bereaved parent is like dropping as an alien from Mars. You're just not the same person you were when you left. And it's a whole different set of circumstances.
Yeah,
I wanted to go ahead and then I'll...
It is a different set of circumstances, but a lot of how a bereaved parent heals depends a great deal on how they're treated in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some shared responsibility there.
Yeah, I like that shared responsibility idea. Well, I'd like to start out. I'd like to read an email that I received on last week's show, after last week's show, because I think it describes some of the personal challenges that we'll be discussing today. This email was sent to me by Maggie from Winter Springs, Florida. Dear Dr. Horsley, I just listened to your show for the first time, and it was amazing. I can't wait to get a copy of Harriet Schiff's book, The Bereaved Parent. I am also a bereaved parent. My daughter, Jillian, died July 17, 2004. She was 25 years old. Her death was sudden and unexpected. Her dad and I found her in the bedroom. She died while sitting on the floor watching television. We also have a son, Matthew, who is 15 years old. We are all still in a state of shock. I keep waiting to wake up and find that this nightmare my life has become is over. This is just a little short of a year for her. So Maggie goes on to say that she's in her second year as a nursing student, and that she wasn't sure if she'd be able to continue nursing school, but she knows Julie, her daughter, would want her to go on. So, Patrick, Maggie is now going to share with us a little bit about her work situation in the email. She goes on to write, "I'm constantly hearing how well I'm doing in the grieving process, how proud they are of me. I feel like a fraud. I'm in complete control of my life from the moment I step on my campus, but in every aspect of my life I feel like I'm going crazy. I seem to be working on autopilot. I thank God every day for the friends I've made and the compassionate friends. If it wasn't for their support and kindness, I think I would lose my sanity. Thanks for listening, fellow mom in mourning, Maggie." I want to thank Maggie for this heartfelt email. Patrick, I'd like to discuss with you some of the points Maggie brought up. One for me was the need to stay in control. I remember when my son was killed, I too was working in a hospital setting, and I felt like I needed to be really professional, look strong, and hold it all together.
Yeah, so, that's a real dilemma for bereaved parents because, you know, quite frankly, the workplace is a little bit different. We tend to act in normal circumstances a little bit differently at work than we do perhaps in our family or in social interactions. Mm-hmm. And that's just exacerbated when you have all these emotions associated with the grief, with the death of a child. And it is difficult. And I know in my own case, I'm like you were. I tried to keep present a good front and put this mask on. And I found that very frustrating because, like Maggie said, the rest of my life, I thought I was going nuts.
And
it wasn't really until I was able to share that feeling with one of my coworkers, who's also a really good friend, that it kind of, just talking about it, kind of relieved some of that frustration. I still, was careful about how I presented myself in the work situation, but at least I had someone to talk to.
How did it go about that you were able to talk to him? How did he approach you?
Well, it was kind of funny because, and not funny at the time, not funny, ha-ha, but kind of a strange situation. This was after Lance's death in 95, and I came back to work after a couple of weeks off, and everyone here was really helpful. They asked how my wife was doing, they asked how my surviving sons were doing, they covered a lot of my assignments. They were really, really good. And then mm-hmm. about 2 months after that, one of my partners, who I'm pretty close to, came into my office and he said, the death of Lance must have been devastating. I have no idea what that must feel like.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you're angry and you're taking your anger out on us.
And oh, wow.
We didn't cause his death.
Yeah.
And I realized, I was angry, but I thought I was masking it pretty well.
Uh-huh.
So it was really this impetus that helped me get the conversation started with him and tell him, you know what, now that I think about it, I am angry because you guys were very sensitive to Kathy, my wife, my surviving kids, but you never once asked me how I was doing. And that opened up the conversation of how I was doing and what I needed from them.
Uh-huh.
And from that point on, it was like this huge burden was relieved. The situation got whole lot better.
Now, how many people were working in that office setting?
We're a small company. We have 10 people that are employed here, so we're a very small business.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that same application, even in large companies, within a smaller work unit, can work. I'm sure that most of us have a really good friend within a work unit, even in a bigger company, that we can confide in.
Mm-hmm. Just a matter of how they approach it and how we approach it. Sometimes I think it's easier in a large firm than it is in a small firm because there's public relations, HR people, human relations that are doing things, and there's maybe even a protocol for a loss, where in a small firm with 10 people, you may not get that kind of a protocol.
There are some enlightened companies out there today that have all those support services in place, but I still hear a lot of horror stories about big companies that are impersonal and seemingly uncaring and don't do those kind of things. So there are good and bad to the, depending on the size of the company.
Mm-hmm. And the people that are in the company.
Yeah. A lot of it has to do, I mean, there can be companies that don't have real compassionate policies but have compassionate people working in that area who can actually help the grieving employee.
Yeah, I was actually working in a mental health setting, you know, and many psychiatrists, and everyone wanted to take me in and interview me. It was a little overwhelming.
Be the specimen, right?
Right, and they all wanted to see how I felt and probe me, and I finally had to say, you know, back a little bit, so you can sometimes get a little too much mental health going.
I think the lesson here is sometimes it's hard for the bereaved parent, but sometimes the bereaved parent has got to take responsibility to let people know what they need.
Well, it's time for us to go on a break, but when we get back, let's talk about that responsibility. How do you let people know, and what do you let them know that you need? You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. My guest today is Patrick Malone, business consultant, president of the Compassionate Friends, and bereaved parent to Scott, Aaron, and Lance. Our topic today is dealing with grief in the workplace. If you'd like to join our show with comments for me or Patrick, please call our toll-free number, 1-866-369-3742.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you happy with your health? Do you feel that conventional medicine doesn't work for you? Migrate yourself from everyday healthcare to the holistic health lifestyle by tuning into the Holistic Health Hotline with Raina Ganji, Thursdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. It's the show that'll take you on a journey every week through the various modalities comprising the true holistic approach to health and wellness. Topics will range from reflexology and body balancing to menopause and male dysfunction. Issues will be covered from both Native American and global perspectives. You'll also learn more about how your body, mind, and spirit relate to our universal connection. So join us Thursdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Holistic Health Hotline with Raina Ganji, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We all want to improve the environment, but not all of us are willing to make radical changes in our lifestyle to help. If you're one of the millions of people who want to change the world without changing your life, tune in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for The Lazy Environmentalist with Josh Dorfman. The Lazy Environmentalist is about easily and effortlessly greening our modern lifestyles without ever sacrificing style. Host Josh Dorfman will bring together designers, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who are rapidly making the modern green lifestyle a reality. So help your world and help yourself by listening to The Lazy Environmentalist with Josh Dorfman every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffered the loss of a child.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria, and my guest today is Patrick Malone, business consultant, bereaved parent, and the president of the Compassionate Friends. We seem to have a couple of telephone calls, Patrick. The first one is Betty from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hello, Betty.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hey, good, how are you? Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart.
Thank
you. Have a question for Patrick and myself?
Yes, I recently lost my mother, and I wasn't able to take time off from work. And I feel like all of the grief is buried within me, and it's taking over my memory, and I'm not able to really express myself in the way that I used to. And so I can be in business meetings and totally have a blank look on my face and not remember certain words. It's almost like there are big gaps in my memory. And I'm wondering if you or he have any strategies for letting people know that, hey, I'm not always this scatterbrained. I've had a loss.
Well, thank you, Betty. We were just talking about before break how you could let people know. Patrick, do you have some comments for her on that?
Yeah, I think number one, the thing you have to understand is that what you're experiencing is very normal and natural part of the grief process. And the easiest way to do that, I think, especially in business situations, is to let one of your business associates know that this is going on and so that they can kind of cover for you when you get into these meetings or keep you tuned in. This doesn't mean that you're less proficient at your business life. This doesn't mean that you're less efficient. It only means that for a temporary period here, you're going to need some support and some help from others until you can recover back that deficiency. And like I said, it's normal and natural.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Betty, for calling in. Phil from Pleasanton? Do we have Phil? We may have lost Phil from Pleasanton.
I have.
Well, what do you do when coworkers avoid acknowledging your grief?
Yeah, that's it's almost as if sometimes coworkers look at us like we have a contagious illness, that if they deal with it, if they bring it up, it'll cause us more pain. And I think, number one, coworkers need to understand we've already experienced the worst pain. There's nothing that they can do that's going to hurt us any more than the death of our child. So if they bring up our child's name and we cry, those are actually tears of joy that someone has remembered. One of the big fears from a bereaved parent is that people will forget their child existed. They'll stop using their child's name. So it's important for your coworkers to mention your child specifically. It's also important for your coworkers not to try to fix a bereaved parent. I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do or say that will fix us. Simply acknowledge that it's a difficult situation and that you're sorry that we're facing it. And that most of the time is enough.
Mm-hmm. How about crying at work when you were talking about emotions? You know, I was just doing a little research for a presentation I'm giving on crying, and one of the things that it showed is that women are much more apt to cry than men, and obviously it's more acceptable because of that. They actually have some hormonal reasons for women to be more tearful. They even have different tear ducts. Mm-hmm. So what about this fact that we can accept women crying? What if a guy wants to cry at work?
Yeah, that's a real dilemma. That's not in the most business environments. That's not looked at in a very positive way from a man crying at work. But it is a fact that crying is part of the healing process. The tears, the chemical makeup of the tears associated with grief, significantly different than, for instance, tears when you hit your thumb with a hammer.
Or the irritation tears.
So there is that need, and I think most of us can find, when we're feeling that, can find a place where we can do that in somewhat semi-private. So there is a lot of need for that to be done. I know many times my crying, I'd keep it until I got in the car on the way home. And a lot of the tears came out then.
Or maybe even the screaming, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, privacy, the windows are all rolled up, the air conditioning's on, no one can hear me, so I look like everybody else on the road talking to myself with tears running down my cheeks. But every once in a while, it's going to come out, and I don't think that a man or a woman should be embarrassed if they're going through this kind of grief, that tears do flow every once in a while in public.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's normal and natural. It's not a sign of weakness. I think that's the most important thing.
Well, tears are a stress reliever, so there may be, you know, getting up and being able to leave a meeting and going out for a walk outside or something like that can be helpful to let people know that you may be leaving meetings.
Yeah.
And you may not be able to sit through everything.
So if you have those conversations with your team, with your managers, and let them know, that's what I meant before about let them know what you're experiencing and what you can need or what you're going to need, most people will be supportive of that
mm-hmm.
for a time. And by doing this up front rather than trying to conceal it, I think you move through the grieving process a little quicker and get to that where you're more returning. You're never going to be the same, but you're going to return to some sense of normalcy in your business life.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to check and see if we had our call with Phil from Pleasanton.
This is Phil, Dr. Horsley, Mr. Malone.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
I apologize. I called in on a cell phone, and it cut out. And at times like these, we must remember that technology is our friend.
Right. Did you have a question for me or
Actually, I'm reporting back in. I called a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes,
With the scenario of what we caring coworkers do when a bereaved colleague comes back to work, and I'm talking a business situation of 30, 40, 50 people in the office, and we would all go over day after day and pretty much inundate our colleague with the demand of how are you? Now, when I called in, Dr. Horsley recommended that we sort of turn that around into an affirmation that stating, I want you to have a great day today.
Right.
And I'm back in because I used it.
Uh-huh.
Now, on two occasions. Now, one was a divorce situation, and the other is a serious illness in the family.
Uh-huh.
I have to tell you, that affirmation got a totally different dynamic than the other colleagues who were simply demanding an accountability of how you're doing.
Right.
And so I now consider turning the inquiry into an affirmation as a best practice for the office.
That's great. Patrick, Phil from Pleasanton was telling us on our first show that he was saying that, you know, you go up to people and say, how are you? And I said when I was working at the hospital, I would pass many people in the hall, and everyone would say, how are you? And I would want to say, I feel like crap.
Yeah.
I'm feeling terrible.
What did you actually say?
What did I say to them?
I didn't
say anything. I said okay or whatever.
Yeah, we put the mask on. See, when most people come to us and say, how are you? They
mm-hmm.
don't really want to know. They're just being polite. And it would scare them if you really told them how you really felt. So
well, Phil, how did you deal with it? Did they tell you how they really felt?
Well, on those occasions when I would say, you know, how are you, you'd get this long pause because
mm-hmm.
now the person has to reflect on just how bad they feel.
Right.
And then they have to, you know, account to me. Now, on those, there was one occasion when I was very, very close to the coworker, so I could get straight talk, and that was really good.
Yeah.
But on other times, it's just another person in the office complex, and it was essentially just a demand on that person. However, turning it around into that affirmation really, really worked out for me. So now I'm thinking, how about a book?
You're going to write a book about it, or I am, or Patrick is.
Write the book that would be something like Best Practices for Caring Colleagues, something
right.
like that.
You know, I think if when you ask people how they are, I think when it is great to do that is when you're in their office with them or when they ask you to come into theirs, so you're really sitting down and you're really serious about it.
Yes.
What would you think about that, Patrick?
Yeah, I agree. There is a place for that where it's real sincere and it's a private situation that the person can actually tell you how they are.
Right.
I think it's also important when you give them that affirmation that Phil's talking about, that's an indication that you really do want to help and really do want to care about them. And that tends to get a better response. That tends to get them to open up that this is somebody who really does care. They're not just doing the polite, how are you?
Mm-hmm. I remember one guy said to me, don't you just feel like you've got a huge hole in your stomach? That's all he said. I didn't even know him that well, and I knew that he'd been through something similar.
Absolutely.
And we just kind of passed in the holidays, said that to me, and I mm-hmm. thought, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Phil, for checking in with us.
Well, I really appreciate taking the call, but my last request is, could you continue to expand on these best practices for caring colleagues? Because there is a real need for some solid advice in the workplace.
Good. Thank you, and we'll have Patrick do that right now.
There are a number of things that I think you can do or say, especially in a case where the colleague has suffered the death of a child. I think the first thing you have to remember is there aren't any magic words.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to start with some expression that simply says, I'm so sorry that this happened. And
mm-hmm.
maybe a hug or a touch. And
mm-hmm. with some colleagues. That's a problem right now in the workplace.
Yeah, it is.
It's a huge problem because you don't feel like you can go up and hug people, particularly if you've got a male boss hugging a female.
That's very true.
See, even a touch, it's a problem. It's unfortunate.
And that would be in those cases where you're really close to the person. Where you're not that close,
mm-hmm.
and simply saying you're so sorry is probably the appropriate way to start. Mentioning the child's name and
mm-hmm.
listening to the coworker as they talk about the child, even if there's tears involved at that point. You can't say something like, I know how you feel, because generally you don't know how they feel unless you've had the same experience, as
right.
you said, with the person who said, doesn't it feel like you got a hole in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
That's someone who's been there.
Right.
Don't try to minimize it. Don't say something like, at least you have other children. Or,
right. Yeah, let's talk about some of those hurtful comments. Right now it's time for us to go to break, and when we come up, back for break, I would love to talk some more advice for coworkers and also getting in particularly to those comments that are difficult. We're coming up to break, so please stay with us for more on grief in the workplace with Dr. Gloria Horsley and business consultant and bereaved parent Patrick Malone.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Millions of people suffer from chronic pain every year. If you or someone you know are one of the millions that suffer from ongoing pain, then you need to tune into the Pain Management Strategy Hour with Dr. Peter Reiswig and Dr. Paul Leo. The doctors will discuss the problem of chronic pain in the United States and the challenges that patients and physicians face in treating pain. This interactive talk show will focus on the modern interventional techniques that are available to people who suffer from a wide variety of pain conditions. Get the direct answers to your questions from the experts. That's Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
When you combine energy secrets from ancient China and the latest breakthroughs in medicinal science, you get Power Healing with Dr. Shaw. Heard every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Each week, Dr. Shaw will bring you another step closer to the expanding world of body space medicine. You will quickly learn and appreciate how power healing is a perfect alternative to hospitals and expensive drugs. Take a step beyond modern medicine every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time with Dr. Shaw on Power Healing, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffered the loss of a child.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria, with my guest, Patrick Malone, business consultant, president of the Compassionate Friends and Bereaved Parent. Our topic today is dealing with grief in the workplace. If you would like to email me about this show or upcoming shows, my email is gchorsley@aol.com. If you would like to participate in the show today, our toll-free number is 1-866-369-3742. We have Karen from New York on the line. Karen?
Hello, Dr. Gloria.
Hi, Karen.
Hi,
welcome
how
to the
are
show.
You?
Did you have a question for Patrick Malone or myself?
Actually, it's for both of you. I work with a really nice guy, and I'll just call him Dan. I don't know if other people might be listening, but his 5-year-old daughter, Sarah, died of cancer a few months ago, and of course, you know, everyone at work was very supportive when it happened, and we try to continue to be supportive, but it's almost like, you know, the atmosphere at work is like he should be getting on with things by now. I don't feel like that, but it seems like other people feel like that, and no one really wants to bring it up anymore. People seem uncomfortable, and it just seems to me that it would take, you know, years to get any kind of sense of normalcy back in your life if you went through something like this. And I'm just wondering, you know, should I say something to one of the bosses, or how should I handle this?
How long did you say it had been?
It's been about 3 months.
3 months, yeah. Yeah, that is, I think people start moving on after that at work, whereas a bereaved parent hasn't moved on and is just starting to probably become less numb. What's your thought on it, Patrick?
Yeah, I think that initial stage, when you're in shock, you're almost numb. And really, in the first year, for me anyway, I was in kind of denial. I kept thinking this was a bad dream that I was going to wake up from.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me almost a year to come to grips with this is real. So 3 months is a small amount of time. Now, how do you fix that situation in your office? I think perhaps people don't realize because they haven't gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah, they're really nice people. I don't think anyone's doing this intentionally.
Sure, no, they mean well, but it makes them uncomfortable when they see Dan still grieving over his daughter Sarah.
Sure,
but there are. Let me give a little commercial here because there are a couple of pamphlets that the Compassionate Friends put out. One is entitled "When a Coworker is Grieving," and that's for people around the individual, and the other one is for the employer, and it's entitled "When an Employee is Grieving."
Both of those
have got some excellent tips on what those two different groups can do to be supportive and what they should be looking for, what the average experience looks like.
Could you tell Karen how to access those?
Sure. If you went to the Compassionate Friends website, and it's
okay.
www.compassionatefriends.org.
Okay.
And you'll see a button there to click on brochures.
Okay.
And just go down, click on that button, and you can order them. They're relatively inexpensive. I think they're probably 15 cents a piece or something like that.
Okay.
And that may be very helpful for your office environment to understand what Dan's going through.
You know, I just went to your website right now, and it said something about a national conference. Is that something I could tell Dan about, or what's that about?
Yeah, the national conference, as a matter of fact, is next week in Boston.
Oh.
We do this. It is an annual conference, and it moves around the country so that people, you know, have access to it. It's in Boston this year. Last year it was in Hollywood, California. Next year it's in Michigan. So, yeah, that's something you could tell Dan about. And you're in New York, correct?
Yeah, Boston's close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there'll probably be close to 1,500 people there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
I hope that helps.
Well, thanks for calling in, Karen. You know, it's great to have sensitive people in the office that haven't lost kids. One of the things that I find, Patrick, is that you will make new friends and you will lose old friends for a while because some people are just better grievers. Not everybody at the office is going to be able to handle this.
Yeah, and, you know, my wife has got a little saying that your friends walk in when your acquaintances walk out. And that sort of, you know, really says that you will find new friends and friends that really do care and through that caring are able to help.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Do you find that people have difficulty taking time off? I'll have to tell you that this idea that you got to be competent that first year, it would have been nice to have somebody come up and say to me, why don't you take some time off? But I was teaching in nursing school at the time. I had students. And rather than saying that, my boss said to me, I had a bet with everybody at the office that you'd come back and just take over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so what are you supposed to do with that? You have to go take over again.
Yeah. That's really kind of a personal, individual situation. Some people are better served jumping back into the workplace and doing stuff, and that's especially true of guys. I mean, I didn't understand. I talked to a grief expert a couple of years ago, and guys used to grieve in the old days. The way they grieved was by doing something, and the doing something was building the casket,
mm-hmm.
and digging the grave. You
mm-hmm.
know, guy, that's the way guys grieved. And so there are people who need to go right back to work. There are other people who need some time to get themselves together before they're ready to go back. And maybe they can't go back full time. Maybe they need some kind of a flexible schedule. And that's what you want, really, companies to step in with policies that accommodate those different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's truly an important part of their policies, because their most valuable resource are those people that work for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about senior management? It's not so easy to replace some senior management or to have them move out or have them not function as they have.
It is not possible. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And that depends. Like in my own case, I mean, we're a small company. There's three of us here who are senior partners. One-third of the senior partner group was out of touch for completely out for 3 weeks, and then partial duty for about 2 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two came in and picked up the slack, and, you know, people can do that. I mean, if you stepped off the curb tomorrow and got hit by a bus, your company would continue. Well, you've got hit by a bus here, only it's called grief.
Mm-hmm.
And you need some time to recover. You're not gone forever. So the more that you can accommodate what that employee needs, the quicker they're apt to return to some sense of normalcy and some level of productivity that they had before the death of a child.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for people on how to stay in touch with their feelings but yet not break down?
I think when you first have these experiences, when you first have these emotions, you really need to let yourself, if you're sad, you need to let yourself be real sad. You almost have to wallow in your sadness, because by doing that, you really recognize what sadness is. And the next time it visits you, the intensity and the length of the visit is not as long. I see a lot of people who extend their suffering because they start to feel sad and they check themselves. Or they start mm-hmm. to feel angry and they check themselves. I think if you're angry, think about all the reasons you have to be angry and get real angry. Now, that doesn't mean you hurt yourself or hurt any other people around you, either mentally or physically. But let yourself understand what anger is all about. And then the next time that anger visits, like I said, it's not as intense and the duration is not as long.
Mm-hmm.
You start to get comfortable with it.
Well, one of the things I suggest to people is if you are in a situation where you know, have to handle your emotions, you can always go to the bathroom, which is a great place to go.
Yep.
When you get in there, you can wash your hands, put some cold water on your face, look out the window, get a drink. You know, a drink helps you to get rid of that tight throat that you've got, that, you know, the lump. And it's important to be drinking and eating while you're going through this process. At work, you need to have maybe small snacks and, as I said, take a walk. Don't eat lunch at your desk.
Yeah.
Rather go out and take a walk, even though you may feel like, you know, laying on your desk and sleeping. You may not want to do that. You may want to just get out in the fresh air.
People,
what are your thoughts about all those ideas?
Yeah, people forget about the physical aspects of grief. Grief is hard work, and you're not going to be able to deal with it unless you're taking care of yourself physically, and that means eating smart, not overeating. I mean, some people don't want to eat at all. They lose all their appetite. Other people compensate by eating everything in sight. You got to eat smart, and you got to exercise. You got to keep yourself in relatively good shape.
Even though it's embarrassing, you know, I remember the first time I ran, I just thought, this is terrible. My neighbors must think I'm a heartless woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure going back to the gym or things like that, you're worried about what people think about you not, you know, staying in your house grieving.
You know what? Initially you do, and then when you realize the benefits of what you're doing to yourself, you care less about what other people might think.
Mm-hmm.
You only care about how does this impact me, and am I starting to feel better as a result of this?
Right.
And well, I think that's an overlooked aspect of grief, this physical aspect.
Yeah.
And the requirements that grief puts on us physically.
Let's talk a little bit after break about the physical aspects, because
okay.
I wanted to mention a couple of things about that.
Okay.
So it's time for us to go to break again for our final break, and please stay tuned for more comments and advice from our guest and to hear more about next week's very special topic and guest.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Women, do you feel that you're too old to be active, too old to be beautiful, too old to have fun, or too old to be fabulous? Well, if that's what you think, then there's good news for you. You're wrong. Tune in to Voice America every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Aging Outside the Box, Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell. Aging Outside the Box is a fabulous, fun program that gives you every reason to feel greater than you ever have. Host Shirley Mitchell and O.E. Cruiser Small will cover phenomenal topics such as women's issues, health, diet, exercise, nutrition, faith, travel, and many other concerns for women of all ages. Feel young, feel smart, and feel fabulous by tuning in to Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a child.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria, and my guest today is Patrick Malone, business consultant, president of the Compassionate Friends and Bereaved Parents. Patrick, I wanted to ask you before the show ends if we've missed any important points, and are there any things you'd like to bring up?
Well, there are two things, actually, that I wanted to address, and they're more directed towards the employers out there, businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses need to know that there's tremendous value in how they deal with grief in their workplaces. I was looking at a study from 2003 by, it's actually called the Grief Index by the Grief Recovery Institute, and they estimate the annual cost of grief in the workplace, all sorts of grief, at about $75 billion in loss of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And half of that, almost $38 billion, is due to grief associated with the death of a loved one.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, from a practical business standpoint, there are good reasons that employers should employ compassionate policies in dealing with this so that they can minimize that loss of productivity and get that employee back on the healing process.
That's a very good point. There must be a huge number of days lost.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's days lost. It's days where the employee shows up, and they're there, and the lights are on, but nobody's home. You know,
right.
That blank look on your face. They're not very productive.
So right.
All of this stuff adds up to a great deal of monetary damage to business in the United States.
As Betty was saying about the grief with her mother, she said that she's, you know, what, forgetting things and not
yeah.
remembering and not coming in, you know, in conference, she's not saying the things that she could have said and, you know, just not as productive.
Think about the impact if you're in a dangerous profession and you have this blank look on your face. Think about the impact if you're driving a forklift. And
right.
You're out there
or in a production line.
Yeah. I mean, people can get hurt here.
Right.
We're not only talking about productivity, but we're talking about health, safety, and welfare.
Mm-hmm. And I worked in a hospital and giving medications and all
exactly.
that kind of thing. And, you know, the nursing field is the largest field in the nation. So they certainly should, hospitals should have some protocol for this. And I don't know that the hospital I worked in did, and I worked in a medical center.
Well, that brings up the second point then, and that's this idea of recognizing what a compassionate employer looks like. And TCF has created a recognition award for just that kind of situation where an employer goes out of their way to provide an environment that is healing and helpful for their bereaved employees. It really, a couple of criteria, you know, their policies support bereavement needs, they arrange additional time off beyond the familiar 3 days, they offer support services, EPA, things like that. They demonstrate a caring attitude. They show some flexibility in the work assignments and evaluating job performance. And there's a lot of information about that Compassionate Employer Recognition Award on the TCF website. So if people out there are interested in nominating their employer for that, and we do that on an annual basis. So I think that's another thing that's helpful.
That's great. So the employee can nominate their company.
Absolutely. Most of our nominees, the companies have been nominated by their own employee.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And they just feel so good about what their company did for them. And,
now, do you have any special stories of people that have received the award that come to mind for you?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to present two of the awards in our first year. And one of them was a commercial real estate company headquartered in Dallas, Texas, that happened to be owned by Roger Staubach, the former quarterback from the Dallas Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
And to hear the employee talk about what the company and what Roger had done when her child died, I mean, it was just, it was heartwarming to know.
Uh-huh.
And the neat thing was, when we came to present the award, Roger was actually embarrassed by the award. And I said, you know, you shouldn't be. And he said, you know, I am, because every company should do this. This should be minimum expectations.
How fantastic.
So he had the right frame of mind.
Uh-huh. And if he had a loss, do you know how he was so sensitive to it, or is he just a sensitive guy, boss?
I don't believe he had a loss. I believe he's just one of those people that really does care about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these kind of situations that those people kind of step forward.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, one thing I wanted to ask you about was, how about pictures on the desk of deceased loved ones?
I have pictures of my son. I have two pictures of my son in my office. I see nothing wrong with that. I think probably there is some limitations there. I think some people go a little overboard and almost build a shrine, and that's probably not appropriate in the workplace. If you're going to do something like that, that's probably better in the home environment. But I see nothing wrong with having a picture of my son who died on my desk.
With these recognition awards, did people do shrine kinds of things in there? People have talked about walls or trees, or have you heard of any of that being done?
Yeah,
at work, or scholarships or something?
There are a number of ways that people have created memorials with the help of their company, in terms of either scholarships or some kind of recognition on the company property. There's just a variety of ways. And what that does for a bereaved parent is it says, look, this is going to be here forever. My child will never be forgotten. So it kind of feeds into that fear that, you know, our child died and we'll forget him. We won't
mm-hmm.
forget him as long as these memorials go on. So a lot of companies do that. They establish scholarships or some other memorial, and that's another one of the criteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I worked with a family whose son was killed in Fallujah, and they were doing a scholarship for him. Her husband worked at the school, at the high school the kid went to, and they were doing a whole scholarship for him through there.
Yeah.
So even past the places that your child has been can get involved with the whole process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have anything special at work besides this one coworker that was helpful for you or your wife as far as the working center or your other kids?
I think probably just the fact that people cared. And, you know, people say to you all the time, let me know if there's anything I can do to help. The real helpful people are the ones who don't ask, but
mm-hmm.
rather step in and say, you know, I'm going to bring you dinner tonight, or I'm going to come over and cut your grass this weekend. They don't ask to do it. They just step in and do it.
Right.
So
and probably in the workplace, too. I'll Xerox that off for you. I know
yeah.
you've got this meeting. I'll
yeah.
answer that phone.
Or let me cover that assignment. I'll go to Boston for you, or I'll go to New York for you on that call. Those kinds of things are so helpful. So that would be another indicator. Don't ask people to tell you what they can do to help, but rather offer it.
I know after our son died, my husband's partner came up to me when my husband wasn't around and said to me, you know, I really want you to know I'm there for you. If there's anything I can do for you or your husband, I see him more at work, but please let me know what you need. And if he needs anything, please call me, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, see, they'd step beyond just the contact with the business setting, but with you. And that's another indicator. Don't
yeah.
forget the spouse that's not the employee.
Also, don't forget the kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, the siblings sometimes feel left out. If you could go up to them and talk to them, too.
Siblings all often refer to themselves as the forgotten mourner.
Right. We'll be doing a show on that later on. Well, it's time for us to go now, and I wanted to thank you for being on the show, Patrick. It's been wonderful, and I think you've given a lot of great advice to people about dealing with loss in the workplace. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, and keep up the good work.
Okay, and we'll see you at the National Conference.
Indeed.
Bye-bye. I wanted to thank Patrick Malone, and please tune in again next week to hear Dr. Robert Thompson, author of Remembering the Death of a Child, winner of a National Book Award in 2003. Dr. Thompson will discuss his son's death and will explore the difference between acute grief and depression. He'll share 7 common findings of parents with the death of a child. We'll also discuss whether or not to take antidepressants. This show is archived on www.helpvoiceamerica as well as www.thecompassionatefriends.org. This is Gloria Horsley. Please tune in again next week, Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can too, and you need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Gloria.
Thank you for joining us today on Healing the Grieving Heart. Join us again next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.